Hello, today is Tuesday, April 21st, and we're here with the government and security news in these strange pandemic times. Anyway, how's your guys' week been?
Oh, you know, monotonous.
Yeah.
Is there a sleep mode? Can I go to sleep? Like, wake me up when it's over?
Well, I'm sleeping so much.
I
took
too.
Two naps yesterday. Like, because the cats are always down to nap. Like, anytime I get in that bed, and I read in bed, so I'll hop in bed, and I'm like, I'll do a few chapters, and the cats just snuggle up, and it's like, all right, let's nap. And it's ruining, like, I cannot sleep at night. It's terrible.
Yeah. I can't sleep at night either, but for other reasons.
The terrors?
What are your reasons?
It's just, you know, you read all the news right before bed, and then it's like, oh my gosh, we're all going to die. Because, you know, it's all horrible, dire news everywhere on the...
She says that she rocks.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tuning out because it's getting to be like the political thing where the two sides have the equal amount of news and you don't know. There's the this is all overblown thing, and then there's the no, we're all gonna die if you go back outside thing.
And yeah, I kind of alternate between both.
Probably depends what age group you are.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't one age group still be threatened if we go back outside?
You would think, yeah.
So
there was a thread today of some guy who was like an ultra marathoner or Ironman guy or whatever in his 20s who was on life support.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that, but that's probably, you know, like they're grasping on all of the outliers. There's probably more stories of people... There's
yeah.
also those stories of people who are just like, I think there was like a homeless camp or something, and they tested it, and a third or a quarter of them all had the antibodies, but nobody was sick.
Huh.
Yeah, some people are just asymptomatic.
I guess like living outdoors hardens you to the corona. Uh-huh. I can't say it. But,
There've been, one of the protests was, actually paid, like all those people were on the payroll. So if they get sick, they should be able to sue whoever was that paid them go to
was
go
that a George Soros? Where does he on this? He's
know.
Old. He should be. He's in a bunker somewhere though, right?
It wasn't one of the ones here. It was like in Jersey or somewhere. It was like, what is going on here? And there was like a whole expose of like who owned the domain names. It was like, you got to reopen this. And it was a lobby group.
A lot of those protests, if you look, like people will post the job listing for crisis actors and the invoices for the bus companies and stuff like that. it's an interesting little open secret. But none of these stories are about that. Well, some of them kind of are. But,
yeah.
You know, But first, let's talk about the FCC.
There's a lot of FCC news this week.
Is there?
Kind of. The FCC has its hands in everything.
They're still working. How wonderful that we still have a Jeep Pie in these dark times to turn to. And there was some, I believe we did a story about that, right? Where the military, not a big fan of 5G because there's some overlap on the spectrum that the military uses for GPS. And they're like, hey, you know what's more important than you watching Netflix on your mobile phone? National security. And somehow a Jeep Pie gets to decide.
FCC to approve 5G network despite the military saying it will harm GPS. Pi says the power limits and guard band will prevent interference with GPS. So one of the companies that's going to use some of their spectrum has agreed to set aside a little bit of bandwidth right at the edge of their spectrum. So they're even though they're licensed to use it, they're not going to use the spectrum that borders 5G, but you can still have radios and weird harmonics and interference and stuff like that. The military says that doesn't go far enough, but it's like, hey, this is the best we can do. Let's just do this.
I bet the people who have like the conspiracies about 5G are just loving this article.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. It's just interference with GPS. You know, it's not like causing viruses or mutating babies.
No, I'm waiting for the conspiracy theory that's like the whole reason. Like, this is a weapon that has been activated prematurely because these frequencies are spilling over into the military bands.
That's the other thing.
That's not what's happening.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the two sides. There's now the no, this was definitely just the bat thing. Definitely the bat. Don't ask questions about it. And then, like, even parts of the government are like, we need to look into this Wuhan lab.
Yeah. Well, they released a statement. They were like, well, it wasn't us. It totally wasn't us. Don't even look at us. It wasn't us.
Both sides. Well, actually, the non-side is like, no, we're positive about this. There is no question. And the other side's like, well, we should at least look into it. Which makes me kind of support that side.
The thing that, like, makes all of this so difficult is that even though these are, like, I don't think that there's a conspiracy theory. I think there's probably just naturally occurring, and, like, poor hygiene controls is what led to the crisis that we're in now, not any kind of, like, malicious deliberateness. But because there have been some actual conspiracies in history, it's like, you can't just be like, no, no one has ever done that. There has never been in the history of man a very large group of people acting in this way. And then you look into it and it's like, well, actually, that's not true.
Yeah, but I could see it being a mistake. Like, you know,
I don't think they did it on purpose.
Protocol wasn't taken and then, you know, it gets walked out on someone's shoe.
But I could totally see an underdog like the CCP saying to themselves, you know what? Militarily, we really don't have a chance. We have one aircraft carrier. Let's just be honest with ourselves. But what if we came up with another way? And you talk about...
They released it on their own public first.
So, what was that?
They released it on their own public first. It makes no sense.
Well, that would have to be the mistake, right? Like,
yeah,
viruses are a harsh mistress. You can mess up. You can drop something. And speaking of conspiracies... How about that conspiracy where we get a bunch of money taken out in taxes and given to these giant corporations that a GPI loves to support? And in return, we're supposed to get broadband coverage. What about that?
Yeah, about that theory? That's supposed to be a thing. Oh, wait. The AT&T gave the FCC broadband coverage data in parts of 20 states that was incorrect and false. Yeah, AT&T corrects its mistake, admitting that it offers no broadband service in 3,600 census blocks. Now, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago I was trying to find the story. We did a story where it was like Boost Mobile or some one of those like smaller companies did exactly this. And
they find the shit out of it.
Yeah, it was like, we're going to find them $500 million. This is Ajit Pai's old employer. Dollars? How much you want to bet that this is going to be a slap on the wrist? No dollar fine involved.
It also was the FCC who supposedly caught the other guys. I can't remember who it was. But it wasn't the FCC who caught these guys. It was one guy who built a house. And he looked at that map and he was like, oh, it's coming here. So I can build my dream house. Krista, pay attention to this.
I know.
Out in the country. And I'll suffer for a little while with the mobile internet. But eventually, AT&T has promised they're going to build out here. And year after year, he waited and looked at the map and waited and looked at the map. And he was like, but what? But we're on the map. We're on the map. No service.
That's what we've been saying literally since the beginning of the Level 1 news is like, these are all wrong. If you go online, it's like, we have coverage there. And then you go talk to people that live there. They don't have coverage there.
Go talk to. I mean, it's mostly my family. None of them have internet, hardly.
So, yeah. We'll see what fine comes down from that. Something tells me nothing. I think they're still going to get their money, but they're going to monitor them.
Yeah. Which seems like a proportionate punishment for the other people that they're going to try to find like $500 million or something.
So that's disgusting. One thing I think we can all agree on is we need to get off this planet.
Right.
It's no longer safe for us here. And we're taking steps toward that. And this is a big one for Mr. Musk.
NASA and SpaceX have set a date for the historical launch of astronauts to the ISS. Mark your calendars. That's May 27th. I'm sure you'll hear about it again from us before then.
I love those cartoons where, like, you know, the people on the space station are looking and, like, the comet's hitting the Earth. It's like, oh, this is going to be really unpleasant for us because we're going to last for a lot longer than those people.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
This is neat. I wonder, like, will they have to quarantine?
Actually, some people just came back. And, yeah, they had to. So they went through the process of coming back to Earth. But then they couldn't go home. They had to go, for some reason, I didn't read the story. They had to go on, like, a 200-mile trip to go through all the proper steps.
Hmm.
Because you got to think.
Well, you go first.
When you come back from that, you get like, you're probably just a beautiful, fertile ground for all diseases, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking like, if you're going up there and like you haven't isolated for the 2 weeks prior, what if you end up with the thing while you're up in space and then it's like, oh, we don't really have medical personnel to deal with this? Like,
well, just right off the International Space Station. Just
Once somebody starts coughing, you pop them in the airlock. There's no other way. What are you going to do?
They fashioned a ventilator from the space toilet.
Well, you could just use the vacuum of space. And speaking of the big problem, there's a lot of talk now of, okay, we're doing the isolating thing. It's not working. Now, we were actually talking before we started recording. No one's taking it seriously.
At least here.
Not even the most simple things.
They were initially.
Like, don't go to the store in a group. Just send one person.
It's worn off.
How inconvenient is that, really? It's not. It's not inconvenient at all. But people won't do it. So we got to do more. And that means tracking people, which is scary.
Yeah.
But it's
coming. They won't go away after the thing does.
Google and Apple are doing tracking, and we reported on that last week. Well, the EU has said, wait a minute, what now? What are you're doing the tracking. How are you doing this exactly in a way that complies with European law? Because this should be impossible with European law.
Now, the Google and Apple thing, in its defense, I think in the first stage at least, it's just an API.
Yeah.
So other people are going to build the actual tracking part of it, and you're just going to use this to talk back. Now, Google promises they will not use this for advertising. They won't sell the data or monetize it in any way, and they won't use it with any of their other products.
Asterisk until after all this is done.
We did do the technical analysis of the protocol last week, and by itself, the protocol does not contain any location data that could be surreptitiously abused. You would have to combine this contact data set with other data sets that also include the contact IDs in order to abuse it. So it does have some technical hardening and technical safeguards that would prevent abuse.
And I can't remember if it was this one or the one we're going to talk about right now, but maybe both of them. It's not GPS, right? It's just Bluetooth beacon.
Yeah.
So your location is not necessarily being tracked, although with enough beacon matches, you could probably work that out backwards.
And theoretically, maybe your service provider or Google might have enough of your information, because if Google has your history of IDs that you've been given and it's already got your location data, your history data, then you can combine those two data sets.
Well, that's an excellent lead into this story. Why would Google already have your location data if it's just Bluetooth, right? Well, it turns out this is not the first thing that Google has done. Google already had another product. When this first started, they were like, all right, let's roll something out. And I think Trump talked about it. And it almost crashed their servers because they were like, no, Trump, we weren't ready. But that version of it is kind of the same thing, except there's one big catch on how you have to sign up.
Verily says it's completed more than 7,000 tests for the thing. But you have to, they have to, do it for you. You don't have any control. It's like, oh, I show up for a test. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this for you. You have no control.
You have to have a Google account. That's the only way to use it. And a lot of people are like, hey, what? You're building your user base in this dark time? How dare you? And they're like, no, we have to do that for security. We won't do it any other way. We won't do login with Facebook.
Remember when Google had Google Health and then they shuttered that?
Along with 10 million other Google projects.
Yeah. Maybe they're going for a relaunch in 2021.
One thing about Google, you know how, we work with a lot of people who fall in love with their projects and can't stand to see it even modified in the slightest? Google has none of that. They're like, no, kill it. Gas it. Destroy the entire team. It's not making $1 million a day. Across the pond, they have their own version of the tracking stuff, and they're not necessarily going through the big tech companies. They're kind of doing the government version of it.
The NHS, the National Health Service, they have a contact tracing app, but it's got to target 80% of smartphone users. Now, this application, the article author here just seems to not come right out and say it, but they're saying you're going to have to make this mandatory because 80% of smartphone users are going to have to use this application for it to be effective. If 80% of the users have to use this application for it to be effective, doesn't that mean you have to mandate it? And no one will provide confirmation of that, but that seems like a foregone conclusion.
They keep saying, no, it has to be voluntary. Yeah.
But 80% of users have to have it for it to be effective.
Now, the numbers are 50% of the population equals 80% of smartphone users. I'm surprised that many people don't have smartphones.
Yeah.
It's not too surprising.
I guess they're just sticking with the clamshell.
Yeah. A lot of my family, they don't really see the purpose of a smartphone.
Maybe you can get them like a little Bluetooth dongle to plug into their clamshell.
Well, see, the crazy thing, though, is that with the Bluetooth... the Bluetooth beacon thing, just turning Bluetooth on those old, you know, the dumb phones would be good enough to at least get one-way contact tracing.
Yeah. But then you'd never be able to tell that person.
Nope.
Maybe send them but you don't have their number, do you?
Nope. Yeah.
Are there still people who, like, are taking their phones into places with them, though?
Yeah. I keep it in my pocket.
Really? See, I leave my phone in the car. Last time I went out, I left it in the car,
so I wouldn't. You were the weirdo in that scenario.
But I got to give it to you, Krista. I think, you know, we're kind of crapping on people not taking this seriously. You're taking this more seriously than anybody I know.
I probably am being a little paranoid. I'd like to see my mom before, you know, the summertime. So I'm trying to avoid getting infected.
I've been out to eat more this week than the past 3 weeks combined. Just takeout, just picking up takeout.
What'd you get?
Just so much stuff.
Let me live vicariously through you.
I got the only Chinese-ish place that's open. I had takeout from there, and
is that the chain?
Yeah, no, it's the I don't think it's a chain. It's the original one that we used to go to a lot, and then the other ones opened up, and then we went there less, and the quality went kind of down. The over in like the strip mall place,
where the Kmart used to be.
Oh no, not that one.
So many.
The newer one. The one that starts with a K.
Oh. Oh, are they open?
Yes.
I'm going to have to get that from you later because I'm dying for some General's chicken.
I want sushi really bad, which is probably like the worst thing you can eat.
So, yeah, it was more delicious. The quality has gone downhill. It's like, no, I had yellowtail tuna and chicken hibachi, and it was so good. It was amazing.
You're talking about the Japanese place.
Yeah, Japanese.
Sushi.
Okay.
So it was so good, so amazing. I did not do barbecue this week, so I missed that.
What else?
Taco Bell, which, you know, was okay. Moment of weakness was easy, and then I did the local bakery a couple of times for breakfast, and it was really good. And so the breakfast carried me through the whole day. Like that's all I ate the entire day because I got like the big breakfast and I just sort of snacked on it all day.
It's hearty.
Yeah.
It's a lot to it.
It was good stuff.
I went to Lowe's and it wasn't necessarily essential, but I don't know if you saw the shrubs outside my house, you might disagree. And I had to have a rake. I tried to do it by hand, picking up the clippings. And after two shrubs, I was like, nope, I'm taking the risk. I'm getting
a
rake.
Could you pick up? Because last time I went, I don't think they were doing pickup yet. I think they are now.
Just pop that stuff in a garbage bag. Are they going to look? Are they going to open it up?
can you go get a rake, but like order it online and then just have them like dump it in your car?
Oh, I think I don't know if they'll like just bring it out to your car or whatever, but I didn't do that. I needed it at that moment. So,
you know,
I need more dirt for my potatoes.
You know, the no man's land, like that is like normally where there's like bushes and trees and shrubs and stuff that grows up between. My neighbor was like, are you gonna do anything about the stuff that's growing up between the things? And it was like, no one cares. Like, it's not even, it was warm and then it got cold and now it's too cold to do anything. And like, really, with everything else going on, you're worried about this sort of, I'm gonna go to Lowe's and get some mulch, I guess, then.
I mowed my lawn for the first time in the season and the new neighbors, the woman came over because I think she was just going stir crazy because she was there by herself. Her husband was still working. And she was like, yeah, you know, I hate it because I always feel like I'm the worst one in the, you know, in the area. Everybody else has a nice lawn. And I was like, well, congratulations. You're never going to be the worst now because I don't care. Do you see my shrubs?
Just convert all of your land into a garden for food.
Well, you'd have to weed the shit out of that.
No, it's fine. Just let it all grow up. You can eat the weeds. Just, you can't actually eat some weeds. You can
eat dandelions.
I don't
think it's good for the flowers and the plants. Well, to get back into the actual news, I think you're starting to get a little stir crazy. Have you ever heard of T3?
T3?
So if you do like an Antarctic base winter, at the end of the season, everybody gets T3 and you like, you just become, you lose your memory and you just wander around in a daze. It's like RimWorld, but real. It's funny because they'll be interviewing these people and they'll just be like, what are we, I don't even know where we are right now. And it's a real thing. So like, how long do we have to be locked down before we all get T3?
I'm not there yet, though. I am starting to get like really bored.
I think
yesterday was unbearable.
I think sunlight has a lot to do with it too, because you know, like,
yeah,
they don't have the sunlight. Anyway, that's why we're blaming the asides on, so deal with it.
I read one thing that said vitamin D really helps with the thing. Don't know if that's true or not. Load up on vitamin D.
Oh, it's got to be sold out though, right?
Do you have a sad lamp? I have a sad lamp.
Just camp out under the sad lamp 24 hours a day.
But we do still have the sun, Krista.
No, just use the sad lamp. Don't go outside. I've been taking walks, but this week it was cold and it was kind of rainy a little bit. And I was like, I just don't want to walk. And now I'm feeling it. I need to start again.
There's like five audience members that are like, shut up and go on. Yeah, transition three
times. The Pentagon. The Pentagon has made a decision that is sure to have sent Lord Bezos into a blind rage. The only thing keeping him from destroying the Earth is his newfound billions.
The Pentagon watchdog has cleared Microsoft's cloud win over Amazon. So this is the... there's still the lawsuit. Don't worry. There's still the lawsuit. We've covered this a few times, but the Pentagon awarded that whole Jedi contract, remember, that we always sort of make fun of? They awarded it to Microsoft. And Amazon's like, that seems weird because AWS is a lot better than Azure. What's going on? And the watchdog has said, well, even though there is a couple minor mistakes in the RFP from the Pentagon, substantially, this is all still Microsoft.
But the big thing about this one was Trump. Because Trump has made no secret of his hatred for Bezos. And they're like, listen, the people in the White House told the Department of Defense how to go on this. And they were just taking orders. So they did an investigation and they talked to the people at the White House. And the people at the White House said, yeah, we just got a memo not to talk to you. So the judge was like, all right.
That's fine.
Nothing going on there.
That doesn't seem weird at all.
Meanwhile, in a judicial matter, the takedowns on social media. So if you talk smack on social media about certain topics, like, you know, terrorism or whatever, gun control, you might get a little surveillance from the powers that be. And what Twitter wanted to do was it wanted to be able to say, hey, look, hey, everybody, these are the surveillance requests we got. We just want to be honest with you. We want to be open about this. Here they are. But not so much.
A U.S. judge has blocked Twitter's bid to reveal government surveillance requests. This case has been going on for 6 years, which is a little on the long side, suggests that maybe the issues here are not super cut and dried. It's not like we have an active terrorist target that we need to surveil them from now until the end of time. It seems more surreptitious.
And probably a lot more arbitrary in terms of what you go about surveilling.
Yeah. Why are they surveilling anybody that posts a tweet that contains the term pressure cooker? That doesn't make any sense.
They're just looking for recipes.
This one, when I read the headline, I was angry. But after reading the article, it was like, oh, okay, that kind of actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did something very stupid here. Yeah. So you kind of lose your protections.
Court rules photographer gave up exclusive licensing rights by posting on Instagram. And so before you get out your torches and pitchforks, here's the thing. Like, the ruling actually kind of does make sense. The publication reached out to the photographer, and the photographer said, it's going to cost you more than $50. I think it was like $50 or something like that.
They offered $50. Yeah.
to use the photo. And the publication said, no, we're not going to do that. But Instagram has an embed feature. And so they did the Instagram embed. So it wasn't technically the publication that was displaying the image. The publication displayed the Instagram embed, which then displayed the image. Which is actually, like, a thing that most larger corporations are savvy to. Like, we've had to build things that work that way for precisely this reason.
And if she'd read that wall of text when she signed up for Instagram, I'm pretty sure she gave up all of her rights.
As far as permitting Instagram to embed it, yeah.
Exactly.
If the publication had made a copy of the image from Instagram, then her rights probably still would be protected. But since the publication embedded an Instagram display, that doesn't count.
So pro tip, if you're dumb enough to put your photography on social media, just take the 50. Because you got no rights. And you don't deserve them. Because you're using social media.
Or watermark the crap out of what you put on social media.
Or... can you edit Instagram posts after the fact? No?
Well, what? I don't know. I don't think so.
What if you could go back and just put the most horrific pornographic image in the embed?
That would be kind of funny. Oh, I've been goat seed. No!
This week was the big check week. Everybody got their C-bucks. I can't say the whole word.
Your Trump bucks, or you were stimulated.
No, I haven't actually seen a check yet, but there was that story about he insisted on having his name on the checks.
Oh, yeah, that delayed the physical checks. These are all electronic deposit.
Did that turn out to be real?
Yes.
Wow. But I did see... Say what?
I didn't get one.
No. Nothing here. I pay my taxes via check, though, so they wouldn't have my account number. But, wow, I just lost my train of thought. It's the T3.
The people are out everywhere trying to spend their money.
Twitter. I saw on Twitter there were a lot of people who you would not think would be Trump voters saying, oh my God, the Trump check was real. Might have to vote for him. So it might have been a smart move for him to put his name on them. Anyway, it didn't go completely smooth because, as you might imagine, with something of that scale, there was some waste.
The IRS has sent checks to dead people. A lot of dead people. They don't know how many yet, but they're figuring it out. A lot of dead people.
So if you were alive and filed your taxes in 2018, but died since then, you probably got a check. Now, there's a question. So there's a rule. How cool would this be? If they mess up and give you too much money on this, by law, you don't have to give it back. So a lot of people are like, I, you know, take care of the estate for this parent. Do I get to keep this money? And nobody's sure yet.
There was also the more gruesome version of that, which was, you know, the nursing home that's hiding the death of old people until their checks come in.
Yeah, that's really dark. Oh, well. Hey, at least people got their $1,200. Put in the comments what you're going to do with your $1,200. How are you going to waste that money?
Meanwhile, a lot of the other European countries are like, oh, I get 50% of what I was paid normally, which is far more than $1,200 considering the length of the lockdown.
And you get it every 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's socialism. Loot boxes. Krista, how many loot boxes you got in Overwatch right now?
I think 802.
Oh, disgusting.
Not even an exaggeration. See the Twitch stream.
You're like the Jeff Bezos of loot boxes. How dare
I don't care
you.
About them.
Well, a lot of people think those are evil and should be done away with. I think there's a decent argument there. But at the same time, if you're too stupid to handle the idea of loot boxes, you probably shouldn't be online gaming in the first place. Probably make the world a better place if that wasn't the case.
Also just get them by playing the game for most games. So it's like...
Well, the argument is, Trista, that I have a gambling addiction and so I can't control myself. So the world must change for me, not me for the world. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's kind of happening.
ESRB introduces a new label to indicate that a game has loot boxes. I think this would probably be good.
Uh-oh.
What?
What's up with those colors?
Oh, it's been like that the whole time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about it, chap.
Krista looks fine. That's all that matters.
It's blue.
The chat's kind of like...
It's fine.
That's a blue box.
It's fine.
Look, you're saying to yourselves, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
It's fine.
It's blue.
That's the triple T talking.
Rated T for T3. So yeah, if you have any kind of randomization that can be purchased with real money, you get this thing here. And everybody knows that parents really pay attention to those little boxes and definitely don't buy games if they have an M on them, right?
Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of parents in our audience, so as a technically sophisticated parent, you now have one easy reference icon. You don't have to bother learning about the game your kid wants to play.
Yeah, but the parents in our audience are going to be like, well, I bought it for myself.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If I had a kid and they wanted to play like Roblox, and I looked at that and it was like, this seems like the dumbest thing ever, I would be like, oh, it's got a label. Yes. Loot boxes, nope.
And then they would screech in the car on the way home whatever, until right, the whatever. Point where you'd be like, you know what,
it's
fine, here. Here's some knives, just play with these. Just anything to make you stop. Well, if you watch any old movies, like especially from the 80s, about the future, of meaning now, everybody had flying cars. And it is disgusting that we do not have any flying cars.
True.
It's just ridiculous. We need to be flying around during these times. Imagine how much easier it would be to stay locked down if you could just take a quick flight every once in a while, you know? Get it out of your system. Well, the U.S. Air Force is here for us.
BreakingDefense.com says that Roper sees Air Force flying cars in production by 2023. We are going to accelerate this market for domestic use in a way that helps our military. Roper stressed the Air Force is all in. So these are not really, like... To me, what they're describing is the air taxis. You know how like Amazon was trying to get an air taxi permit when they were going to build their headquarters in New York? It was kind of like this. Some of these are automated. We've seen prototypes that are completely automated, like one or two passenger. We've seen prototypes of these that require a pilot. It's basically a glorified drone body, or it's like the drone control system. But, you know, vertical takeoff and landing, kind of like a helicopter, but electric motors, fuel efficient. So it's possible these could enter mass production because the prototypes do exist.
They don't, because of the limitations on how they're built, though, they don't offer a lot of carrying capacity.
No.
That's one thing about them.
And the battery life's not great, but that was the use case for Amazon. It was like, we can zip around New York City, and those are basically just short 10-15 minute hops, and then the ridiculous, you know, power capabilities of the Amazon headquarter buildings mean they could recharge those lithium ion batteries in a few minutes. So could be good for schlepping executives from A to B.
And they're electric. So I mean, of course you can make the argument about, you know, what goes into an electric, is it really better for the earth? But if they stayed in service for a long time, I think over time you do get a net gain.
Yeah.
In terms of you know, destroying the planet with your convenient flights.
Speaking of destroying the planet, this is a direct follow-up to last week when we were talking about Animal Crossing and how it's like there was like some free Hong Kong protests in Animal Crossing. Well, the Chinese government has wasted no time in dealing with that.
And like any good crisis, you use it as an excuse to go a lot harder. You go even further with it. So they're like, Animal Crossing might be bad. How about just no online gaming? How's that? How do you like that?
China to ban online gaming and chatting with foreigners outside the Great Firewall. Yes, if you are outside the Great Firewall of China, no game, no Animal Crossing, no chatting, nothing.
Look at these filthy dissidents.
There's a lot of good memes with the yellow one on the right.
I don't know enough about Animal Crossing to understand any of those.
My friends, I have three or four friends playing it, and every day they get on Discord and they're like, what's your turnip price today?
Yeah, because we did a story about, like, it's randomized. And if you get one of the really high ones, you can invite other people to your world.
Oh.
So they can reap the benefits of your turnip prices. It's really...
That sounds like insider trading.
It's a study in capitalism.
Whatever it is about Stardew Valley that is appealing was what sucks people in with Animal Crossing.
Yeah, there is something about those farming games because you're building toward... It's funny because you're doing the annoying thing to build up your money to buy the thing so you don't have to do the annoying thing anymore. And that just builds and builds and builds on itself till you get to the point where you're like, wait a minute. I could just stop playing and get the same result. I don't have to water these plants if I just don't play this game. It's the same thing.
And yet you want to water the plants.
But then you don't get any endorphins, so. Well, we talked a lot about Zoom last week. Last week's news was heavy Zoom. And some people are just a little bit late to the party, but it's the same old story.
India says that Zoom is not a safe platform for video conferencing. Last week's episode was the real mega episode on Zoom. This week is just, India's, you know what? We looked at it. It's not safe.
We didn't really have to look at it. Everybody else did the looking for us. And to punctuate what was said about Zoom last week, we had, this is moving into the security section of the news.
Over 500,000 Zoom accounts have been sold on hacker forums and the dark web. What? Yeah, because, you know, it was easy to guess the thing. So, guess the URL.
It was the previous. They're just using the Pwn database.
Yeah.
And picking up those accounts. Turns out a lot of Zoom users, not super tech savvy, using the same password and email they use for everything else. So, easy to snap those up.
But, there's a new vulnerability. You know, imagine that, Zoom is also like horribly insecure, remains horribly insecure. Like people setting an insecure password, that's one thing. But what if the service itself was not secure?
And you know, up until last week, that even world leaders and corporation heads were all Zooming every day. And you could maybe get in on that. What would it be worth to you? Well, it turns out there's a price.
Hackers are selling a critical Zoom zero-day exploit for $500,000. Yeah, one for Windows, one for Mac OS. Yeah, that's.
You think? Do you get them both, or would you have to pay the whole million?
I don't think you'd have to pay out the whole million.
Oof, tough.
That's rough.
You get to guess what OS your target is using. But yeah, that. Now this was on the 15th, so at this point, I imagine that is sold and probably easier to get.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to be the first, and they might even have a patch at this point. If you're Zoom, do you think about buying that?
Yeah, probably.
I think that would be a good investment. The it's funny because all of the hackers kind of did this whole agreement thing. It's like, all right, you know what? We're going to stop hacking hospitals. Fine. Everybody has to pull together. We're going to do our part and not hack hospitals. And apparently, when they're not hacking hospitals, they instead like to go after defense contractors.
Ransomware scumbags, quote unquote, leak Boeing, Lockheed Martin, SpaceX documents after contractor refuses to pay. Anti-mortar system specs, legal paperwork, payment forms, and more dumped online from infected PCs. So the headline here, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, SpaceX, those are not the companies involved, but they are affected because they all use the same contractor.
It was, what was the name of that place? I'm not seeing it. But it was a, you know, the third-party contractor, as we're used to seeing. And all of these guys responded, and they're like, yeah. Oh, Visser Precision. That's what it was.
Yeah,
it was Visser Precision. It wasn't us, but we're looking into it. Visser Precision didn't respond to comments.
Not good.
Not a great time.
Just going to disappear into the woods.
Those Zoom meetings are very uncomfortable at Visser Precision.
Somebody's yelling so loud their microphone's clipping the entire time.
It's overmodulating.
People I had to just, do a... Oh, sorry. You go.
People just sitting there in their underwear just sweating. And I was like, oh, God.
It's like, I'm not sure if this is a Zoom meeting where somebody's upset about our security or an 80s rock video.
We had to do a conference call this week and some people had their videos on and I was like, why? I don't need to see you for this.
They gotta let you know how good they look in the lockdown.
Well, it was funny because like we started and like a few people had their video on and then after they realized some people just didn't turn theirs on, they immediately turned theirs off.
You don't want to be the first to go video.
Yeah.
Was there like one brave person who's just like, no, I'm going full video?
No, everyone turned their camera off after.
It'd be funny to have your camera on and just like eating a real sloppy sandwich the entire time. Just making a mess.
Anyway, I think we should do this and then just, yeah, like just all over the keyboard.
Well, there's been a lot of ventilator news because, you know, that's the hot tech item right now. Of all the things that you can't buy, ventilators are the biggest because it might keep you alive. Now, I saw a story. I didn't include it because I don't know how realistic it was. But Musk claims that the whole CNN ventilator story was completely false.
Wow. That's interesting. Does he like have any evidence to back that up? Or just no.
He said his quote was like, "I'm amazed they're still in business because they're just making stuff up."
Was it? Were they not like? Does are they? Were they not BiPAP machines basically, or did he? Just...
I think maybe he didn't even deliver them. Like,
yeah, there was a story that he didn't even give anything. Like,
yeah,
at all.
He's like, this, none of this happened. We're working on a totally different way of doing this.
Huh. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Anyway, ventilators are a big business, and everybody's trying to do their own thing. Now, it turns out that... So, the story about Musk was he delivered CPAP machines, when what you need are BiPAP machines. CPAP being continuous, one direction, and Bi being on and off, so that you can breathe out. And it turns out that a lot of the existing CPAP machines have a dirty secret that the manufacturer says definitely doesn't exist, except this guy found that it definitely does exist.
Medical device jailbreak could help solve the dangerous shortage of ventilators. Manufacturer says conversion requires significant rework, but Airbrake suggests otherwise. So this converts a CPAP machine into a BiPAP machine. I don't know enough about medical technology to know if this is, like, maybe somebody in the chat that works with medical technology can be like, oh yeah, let's not, because is it, it's not qualified, it doesn't have safeties, and so it could blow out your lungs?
No, I don't, because I don't think it's that difficult to do, because it turns out that the BiPAP, like the real ventilator, I think extracts air from your lungs for you. So let's breathe out. BiPAP just turns off the pressure so that you can exhale normally. So how hard could it be? It seems like it would be a pretty basic thing to do. This guy claims not only is it easy to do, the controls are already in there. They're just turned off. It's like when you turn off a bad core on, you know, a CPU that's in the lower bin CPU. It's still there.
It's a bend ventilator. It's like, we did lab testing and this one accidentally killed some rhesus monkeys. So we're going to bend it as a different device.
So, yeah, I mean, that's probably illegal, but in the interest of human life, what's the law there?
You know, something is better than nothing. Yeah.
There's also the big thing about bandwidth. Now, I think the bandwidth worries have kind of been alleviated because we really haven't had any problems.
Yeah.
And people are going hard on the bandwidth. But some companies are still at least playing lip service to it and maybe just taking the advantage of lowering some data costs.
Google is lowering the Nest camera quality to conserve internet resources. So if you have a Nest, you might have noticed it's lower bandwidth. Now, you can still request the higher bandwidth stream. It's just not that way by default.
I think they said if you leave them on all the time and you have a certain number of cameras, it's like 400 gigabytes a month, which is funny because isn't the Verizon cap 40?
Yeah.
What would the overage fee be? Just running
hundreds
this?
And hundreds of dollars.
So anyway, it's down to 300 anyway. From yeah. 400 to 300.
On our wireless plan, somebody accidentally downloaded their entire like Scribd library and it was like a 22 gigabyte overage.
Wow.
Ooh.
You know who that is?
Yeah. It's fine.
I seem to recall we did this. Do you remember this story? I vaguely recall we talked about this thing.
Yep.
It was a persistent backdoor in Android.
Yep.
And no one knew what was going on. It was this big mystery.
It's figured out.
Luckily, it's been figured out, but it's still kind of a problem.
The secret behind the unkillable Android backdoor called XHelper has been revealed. It turns out that it's able to mount one of the read-only system partitions as read-write, and it's able to make some modifications that go undetected by the Android integrity checking thingy. That's how it survives. It writes to a partition that you normally don't write to, and when you update, you have different package versions. The Play Store updates some stuff. It's in a completely different place. So this actually makes it really easy for it to survive being reset, because when you reset it, the partition that's reset is not the one that is modified by this malware.
It's only for the older jailbreakable phones, though. Modern phones are not affected because you can't actually get in there and do this to them.
You can still get the malware. It's just it won't survive a reset on those phones.
It's still a very disturbing thing. One of the more interesting security stories we did last week was about the evil subscription apps on the Play Store where uninstalling the app isn't the same as unsubscribing, but no one tells you that. And that was a really bad PR thing for Google, which isn't surprising. They got right on top of it.
Engadget says, Google bans app with deceptive subscription offers from the Play Store. I think people inside Google might have seen those news stories. Maybe might have watched the Level 1 news. No, probably not. Probably saw the original news stories. Well, it's been fixed.
So now you have to put text on your screen here. This is a blue screen, by the way.
Let me go ahead and make a prediction. They're going to get all the applications that exist now, but the application developers are going to wait a week or two for all this to die down, and then they'll be back in full force.
I don't know. How does that work? Can they go after you legally for violating the terms?
I mean, yeah, but it's going to be some company in India, and even Google's not going to bother with chasing it down. What they really need to do is fundamentally change the subscription mechanism so that you have to have that app installed on at least one device for the subscription to go through.
Yeah, but then you have to check every month. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Google's got the facilities to do that, and that's the only thing safe to do for the consumers. And to avoid doing that is just going to, you know, the same problem is going to keep cropping up until they do that.
Unfortunately, this really kind of gives some credence to Apple's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
although they were affected by the same bug and they haven't taken steps yet, really, other than just banning a few problem applications.
But if everything had to go through Apple Pay, you wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
So, cryptocurrency is still the biggest target for most hacking just because it's so easy to grab money during all that. And the crypto market suffered in the big market downturn, but I think it's coming back. And now's a great time. If you think it's going to continue to come back and go back to where it was, now would be a great time to steal cryptocurrency.
Clipboard hijacking malware has been found in 725 Ruby libraries. The malware would replace Bitcoin addresses copied to the clipboard with one controlled by the attacker. A lot of libraries, but it was really only two or three prolific package maintainers, and these were detected within two or three working days. So pretty good, actually, for the security team that's monitoring all the Ruby gems and figuring out what things are changed to detect this particular issue. But still, if you downloaded one of the affected libraries, which there were a lot, in that 2 to 3 day period, you're going to have to update your applications again.
And be careful when you copy paste your crypto addresses or keys, because it'll grab them and replace them. Remember Clearview. If you don't, Clearview was the evil company who is doing live facial recognition. Law enforcement can upload to Clearview and match your face immediately with a number of license plate and or driver's license and social media and all these other repositories of facial data and figure out who you are. And it's nearly real time. And that is terrifying. And a lot of people said, hey guys, this is too much. You can't, this is crazy. What happens if you guys get hacked? And they're like, bro, we're security experts. What, you think that's ever gonna happen? You're stupid.
Security lapse exposes Clearview AI source code. Source code has secret keys to cloud buckets storing its apps. Guess what's been made public? You can now download and experiment with the Clearview AI source code on your own data sets.
But not only that, it turns out that those keys could get you into all of the video storage. Hey, this is something they pulled down from one of those things. Just a random sample, and it's not blurred by default. TechCrunch did the blurring there. So the worries of everybody who thought, hey, Clearview has too much power, no one should have this.
That looks like a public courthouse.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get my driver's license renewed. What's going on?
Funny how that always seems to happen. Right after they claim it never can happen.
It's like, man, should we build tools like this? No, we should not.
Should we build a national tracking database that can follow your every contact and report it to the government?
That'll never be abused. What are you talking about? Oh,
Well, on my high school literature classes where we read books about how that was a bad idea.
Those are banned now. Yeah. Modern children aren't allowed to read those.
Stop having those ideas. Not allowed.
Tomorrow will be going to be all business once again. Business is the kind of the one category that still continues to churn out stories and all of this.
If I could summarize, the business happenings of the world now is either really good for you or really bad, and there is no in the middle.
Yeah, you're either going out of business or you're a freshly made billionaire. That's the only two things.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.